We know that discouragement can make the best of us ineffective. I want us to think about a church tonight where everyone is like a cheerleader, cheering you on, helping you, lending a hand when you stumble, glad when you succeed. And the great example in the Bible of an encourager is Barnabas, who we read about in Acts chapter 4 and in verses 32 to 37. He's named there Joses, but most of us know him by this nickname that he was given, Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. Now, discouragement can render the Christian, the preacher, a congregation ineffective. We're discouraged. Then we don't pray as we should. The Bible lies unopened on the shelf. We don't step out in faith. We don't trust God. If we're discouraged, we tend to stumble back into old and destructive sins. So many times in the New Testament, we are told to encourage one another. In the New King James Bible, often that word is translated edify or exhort one another. In other translations, encourage one another. So J.B. Phillips, for example, translates 1 Thessalonians 5:11, go on cheering and strengthening one another, as I have no doubt that you've been doing. Certainly, Barnabas is given to us in the book of Acts as a model, a son of encouragement. And so I want to consider that with you tonight and to think of this life of the Church of Jesus Christ as encouragers of one another. Now, when the Bible tells us to do that, to encourage each other, the word that's used in the Bible is actually a great word itself. The word encourage means to come alongside someone. You encourage someone, you come alongside them. You put your arm around their shoulder. You help them carry their burden. You help them to keep going, not to give up. Perhaps you advise, perhaps you guide, perhaps you strengthen. But that's all bound up in this New Testament word, encourage one another. In the sporting world, one of the 100 greatest moments in sporting history is about encouragement. It was when the British runner Derek Redmond, who was dreaming of an Olympic medal in the 400 metres, in the semi-finals in Barcelona in 1992, he was running and his father, Jim Redmond, was in the stadium. And in the race, Derek Redmond was in the lead, he was pulling away. He was more than halfway through the race and it looked as if he was going to win in his semi-final. And then suddenly, Derek Redmond heard this pop and it was his right hamstring. And Derek Redmond pulled up, it's like as if he'd been shot. He just collapsed to the ground. And in the stadium, his father, Jim Redmond, felt as if time was standing still. You could see his son in pain on the ground. So Jim Redmond came down the stands as quickly as he could, jumped over the barriers. Now, he had no right really to be on the field, but he pushed past the people. He said, "That's my son. That's my son." And off he went to help his son. Now, Derek Redmond realized that his Olympic dream of getting a medal was finished, but he wanted to finish the race. So he was trying to get to his feet. And then as he started to hobble along, hopping almost on one leg, his father drew alongside him. "We'll finish together," father said to son. And so his father put his arm around him and virtually was carrying him, but half carrying him, to finish the race. And all the crowd realized what was happening. And they all started to clap this father and son who showed this determination to finish the race. And then just a few steps before the end, Jim Redmond let his son go and he just hobbled across the finish line. Now, he didn't win any medals, Derek Redmond, but it's been called one of the great moments in sporting history because it demonstrated the love of a father for his son, but also how he encouraged, he came alongside his son and carried him with that burden, with his hamstring gone. In the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ uses the same word of encourage to describe the work of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit, the comforter, the one who comes alongside the people of God, who stands with us. The comforter has come, the one who stands alongside comes alongside. So for the Christian trusting in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and King, there is this great New Testament picture of the Holy Spirit as the encourager, the comforter. But then also as people, as Christians, with one another. How can we encourage one another? Well, that's where Barnabas helps us, because if anyone had a gift of encouragement, it was Barnabas, a son of encouragement. And if you were to trace Barnabas through the book of Acts, you would find time and time again, there he is as an encourager. And so what I'm going to do with you tonight is just look at some of those New Testament passages. So I'm saying be an encourager. And be an encourager, we can be generous. That's the first thing we saw in Acts chapter 4 and the verses we've already read. Now, it wasn't the first time that Barnabas was an encourager, because we are explicitly told in verse 36, Joses is also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement. So obviously, he had done various things before this to encourage. But here, he sells property, he uses it to help the church, and apparently it was a model that others followed. Ananias and Sapphira tried to mimic him, but they came up with a scheme to trick the church. But Barnabas was an encourager. And many times in the book of Acts, you see him as the one who steps out, the one who comes forward, the one who offers help. And that's what encouragers do. They're willing to step out to be the first. They don't say, oh, we'll wait for someone else to do it. They step out in faith. And then often when they've done that, others are encouraged to join in as well. See, you need courage to be an encourager. So Barnabas, we are told, verse 37, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. And it appears others thought, wow, what an amazing thing to do. I'd like to do that. I'll copy Barnabas. So encouragers are like God's jump leads for the church. You've all had the experience of being in a car and the battery goes flat, the car won't start. And what happens? You get someone to come and pull their car alongside yours. Same idea, coming alongside. And then you get jump leads from their battery to your battery. They start the engine. And from their car, there's a spark to your battery and it jumps the car into action. And that's what encouragement does in the church. It jump starts others. It gives them energy, gives them power, gives them a model, keeps them going. And here that's what Barnabas did by sharing his resources. Luke writes that there were no needy persons among them because there were people like Barnabas who had jump-started the church into giving. Now, I'm not saying we all need to go out tomorrow and sell a house. It can be small things, preparing a meal, loaning a car, buying a bag of groceries. Sometimes God calls his people to bigger things. But the world says we succeed by acquiring, owning, possessing, getting more. Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So I conclude that being a Barnabas, being an encourager, means not having an inordinate love for money and things. An encourager loves people. Seems to me that's essential for being an encourager. 20 years later, Paul writes to the church at Corinth and he says, do we have no right to eat and drink? Do we have no right to take along a believing wife, as do also the other apostles, the brothers of the Lord and Cephas? Or is it only Barnabas and I who have no right to refrain from working? 20 years have passed. There's Paul and Barnabas working with their hands, not taking gifts from the people in Corinth. They minister for people. So you want to be an encourager, you say. When your mind is free, do you dream of cars or clothes or houses or holidays or sport or computers? Or, as an encourager, when you dream, do you think about people? How they could be spurred on? How they might be encouraged to become a Christian or step out in faith or serve the Lord in new ways to maximize the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the growth of the kingdom of God, the strengthening of the people of God? The encourager says, we could get behind that preacher, that missionary. Pray for him every week at the prayer meeting. We could ask that student around for lunch. We could give an anonymous gift to that person who's struggling. We could send someone a note for that prayer, thanking them. We could read to children a missionary account from a biography. We could write a letter of encouragement or an email. There's lots of things that we can do as biblical encouragers and set free from the heart-deadening mentality of our materialistic society. So I'm saying the Lord, as we cry out to him, can make us better as being encouragers for the cause of Jesus Christ in the church and in the world. And this pattern of being an encouragement, so when, for example, the church in Jerusalem heard that a church had been planted in Antioch, the one person they thought of would be a good encourager of the new Gentile believers was Barnabas. So Acts 11:23 says, when he came to Antioch and had seen the grace of God, he was glad. Now the church was new, it was imperfect, but Barnabas saw evidence of the grace of God and he was glad. Now again, that's a mark of a son of encouragement, a daughter of encouragement. Encouragers have their heart sensors alerted for indications of God's grace at work. There are plenty of people with bucketfuls of cynicism that they can pour on. But the encourager has an eye for indications, little glimmers, little signs, little expectations of the grace of God. Most of you know Oliver, one of our missionaries. Oliver is like that. He has an eye for opportunities for the work of God and to see the grace of God at work in the hearts and lives of people. Signs of hope. So Oliver doesn't have that static mentality that always is cynical and pessimistic and always sees people fixed in their alienation from God. No, he sees people realistically as cut off from God in their sins, in need of conversion, but not static, but ways in which the grace of God at work in the lives of people brings people to trust in Jesus Christ, converted, built up in their faith, looks for ways to train up future leaders amongst the people of God. Now that's something like what we see in Barnabas here. We can be encouragers, we can be generous. The second thing I see here we can be encouragers is we recognize potential. Barnabas came alongside people and he stood with them when he recognized potential. Not the perfect finished article, but potential. Now, we tend to look at people externally. We look at their past, look at how they're doing or what they've done. But the encourager sees people more as God sees them, what they can become, what God can do in them and through them. Now, many times Barnabas does that in the book of Acts. He was among the first to welcome Gentile Christians into the church. He welcomed them, he equipped them for ministry. There was a Jewish reluctance, but Barnabas recognized potential. But the best example is in Acts chapter 9. Saul has just become a Christian. Saul, who's had a long history of persecuting Christians. Saul, who's been throwing Christians into jail. Saul, perhaps overseeing executions. No one in the church wanted to get close to Saul. No one trusted him. But here's what Barnabas did. This is in Acts chapter 9 and verses 26 to 28. Acts 9 verse 26 says, "And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had spoken to him and how he preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out." And that's just the beginning of what Barnabas does with Saul, who becomes the Apostle Paul. Barnabas takes Paul with him to that trip in Antioch we've been thinking about. Barnabas mentions him again and again and mentors him. In the beginning of the book of Acts, when you hear of these two men, you'll read it like this: Barnabas and Paul, Barnabas and Paul, Barnabas and Paul. But then after a little while in the book of Acts, there's something different. Paul and Barnabas, Paul and Barnabas. Barnabas is willing to let Paul take more of a lead as time goes on. And it gets to the point where you hear about Paul, you don't hear so much about Barnabas at all. There's a little book called The Gift of Encouragement. Do you know someone who has a song waiting to be sung, a piece waiting to be played, a tale waiting to be told, a rhyme waiting to be read, a speech waiting to be said? Encourage them. After Saul's conversion, he came to Jerusalem. He tried to join the disciples. You might say he had been the high priest's hatchet man. And now he's claiming to be a Christian convert. They were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. So who will take a risk for Saul? Who will see potential there? Who will stick his neck out and give Saul a chance to prove that he's genuine? But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. So Barnabas became his advocate, and the result was eventually the church accepted him. Saul, Paul, his ministry flourished. And as a son of encouragement then, Barnabas had been willing to take this risk when all the others were other disciples were afraid. And there was an amazing result. There was once a lady Sunday school teacher named... A man. There was a man Sunday school teacher, Edward Kimball. And he was a Sunday school teacher. He was a kind man, but rather timid. But he had a heart for evangelism. And he had a young man in his Sunday school class once. A young man who was a bit mixed up. But the Sunday school teacher realized there was something about him and his need of the gospel. So one day, Kimball went to this young man's place of business. He was working at that time selling shoes. And Kimball, while trying on various pairs of shoes, spoke to this young man and shared the gospel again with him and spoke to him in a personal way. And over a period of time, as Kimball gave himself to this young man and helped him and encouraged him, the young man became a Christian, received the Lord Jesus Christ. His name was Dwight Moody. Moody eventually became then a Sunday school teacher himself, like this man who shared the gospel with him. But then went into full-time ministry and became a significant evangelist in America in the 19th century. That rather timid Sunday school teacher who had taken that risk, if you like, to draw alongside a young man and spiritually help him. A young man who would go on to become an evangelist and who would preach the gospel to thousands of people in America. So we can be generous, we recognize potential, and we can be an encourager. We give people a second chance. There's another occasion where Barnabas comes alongside someone, which shows us this aspect of encouragement where you don't hold people's failures against them. But you help them to get back up. You put your arm around them, a bit like Jim Redmond did with his son, and he helped his son get up. Well, Barnabas did that with a young man called John Mark. John Mark was in training, we might say. But in his first missionary journey, John Mark, partway through the journey, he gave up, he went home, he quit. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us why John Mark gave up. But later, when Paul and Barnabas were ready to go on another missionary trip, Paul definitely didn't want John Mark to come. But Barnabas was willing to give him a second chance. We can read about it in Acts chapter 15. Let's read a few verses, 36 to 41. This is on page 746. Here's Barnabas, the son of encouragement, generous, servant-hearted in that way, reaching out to people, and then ready to give this young man, who made a mistake, but give him a chance. Then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we've preached the word of God and see how they're doing." Now Barnabas was determined to take with them John, called Mark. But Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. Then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. So there was a disagreement between Paul and Barnabas. Paul took Silas. They had a successful missionary journey. But Barnabas takes John Mark. Now, interestingly, it does say of Paul and Silas in verse 40, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. It doesn't say that about Barnabas with John Mark. And we don't have a full storyline from Luke. But we see that Barnabas' willingness to give John Mark a second chance did pay dividends. John Mark went on to write the Gospel of Mark. John Mark proved his usefulness as a minister of the gospel. Years later, Paul would write and request of Timothy, "Get Mark and bring him with you, because he's helpful to me for ministry." So Barnabas had been an encouragement. Here's someone who'd made a big mistake, had quit, had gone home. But Barnabas gets alongside him, puts his arm around him, gives him another chance. It's like when we were children and played games as children, something would happen, someone would do something, there'd be a big disagreement, or everybody squabbling, and in the end someone would say, look, let's start again. And that's what Barnabas had done with John Mark. So someone who may feel brokenhearted or has failed in some attempt or has taken a wrong turn in their life, amongst the people of God, sometimes there's a son of encouragement who can get alongside a person like that and say, look, with the grace of God, nothing is beyond the grace of God, let's start again. Edward Steichen was one of the world's renowned photographers in the last century. But on the day he first took photographs, he nearly gave up. He was only 16. He bought his first camera and he took 50 photographs. And 49 photographs were just blank, black photographs, nothing. Out of the 50 photographs he took, only one came out of his sister sitting at the piano, playing the piano. And his father saw the 49 photographs that hadn't worked, and he said to his son, look, it'd be better if you did something else. Photography's not for you. But his mother saw the photograph he'd taken of his sister. And it was a very insightful photograph, even though he was only 16. And she encouraged her son, stick with it, she said. Try again. Take more photographs. And he went on to become this world-famous photographer. It's good, isn't it, that his mother's encouragement spurred him on, rather than just being put off and giving up because of his father's discouragement. Charles Spurgeon was perhaps the greatest preacher of the 19th century. Perhaps we've all heard of Charles Spurgeon. But not so many have heard of Mary King. Mary King was the housekeeper at the school that he attended when he was a teenager. This is what Spurgeon says about Mary King. She liked something very sweet indeed, Spurgeon says. Good, strong Calvinistic doctrine. But she lived strongly, as well as fed me strongly. Many a time we have gone over the covenant of grace, talked of the personal election of the saints, their union with Christ, their final perseverance, what vital godliness meant. I do believe that I learnt more from Mary King than I would have learned from any six doctors of divinity of the sort we have nowadays. Someone in his school, relatively unknown, unheard of, but who encouraged Spurgeon. The doctrines of grace, also in the means of grace, I understand, she encouraged him. That's what Barnabas did for people. That's what God calls us to do, to be encouragers. Sometimes in the sky, you've seen the V shape in the sky of geese flying, helping one another to fly. As I thought about an illustration, I had a big surprise to say that because the geese fly in that formation, like a V formation, they increase their flying range by 71%. Some clever scientist somewhere has worked this out. 71%, they fly 71% further distance than if each bird flew alone. That by encouraging one another, they take it in turns, don't they, to take the lead and break through the air and the others fly behind. By doing that, they encourage one another. So the Bible tells us we are to be sons, daughters of encouragement. And you know, when you encourage someone, you may encourage in such a way that what you do for the cause of Jesus Christ and the gospel may go unnoticed for years and years and years. Like Mary King with Spurgeon. Like that Sunday school teacher with D.L. Moody. But don't quench the Spirit of God. Be a Barnabas, be a son of encouragement, a daughter of encouragement. And it strengthens the church of Jesus Christ. When those who are truly by faith joined to Jesus Christ, trusting in him, Lord, Savior, and King, get alongside others as sons and daughters of encouragement. And that God will help us. Let's pray together. Lord, we look to you tonight to spur us on that in the church of Jesus Christ we may be sons, daughters of encouragement. And see in this model that Barnabas gives us, a model that helps us as we seek to live for Christ in our day. There are many discouragements. So we pray, Lord, that you will help us not to be caught up by the spirit of the age, but to be encouragers of one another, even as we praise you tonight that by the work of the Holy Spirit, every believer here has the comforter, the one who draws alongside the people of God. And without him, we would be lost tonight and hopeless. But we thank you that in Jesus Christ, we have a hope that is sure and certain. So fill us with the Spirit and help us to encourage one another for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, we're going to join together and sing as a closing hymn. Church of God, elect and precious, not from our hymn book, but displayed on the screen. I think one of the verses in this talks about this element of helping, bearing one another, spurring each other on. Church of God, elect and glorious, holy nation, chosen race. We'll stand to sing this together. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with each one of us and all the people of God, tonight and even forevermore. Amen.